So with preparing for the message, you know, I truly believe that when someone stands in the pulpit, that they go through whatever they're ready to preach. And this I have. I want to thank the elders and leadership for allowing me to stand in the pulpit. This isn't something that I take lightly. And it is an honor to share God's word, not only with our children and with our youth, but with the adults as well. So I thank you. Thank you all, leadership. Today's scripture is based out of Genesis. You can turn in your pew Bibles, but I'll be reading it to you. It's Genesis 32, verse 22 through 31. And it reads about Jacob wrestling with God. It says, verse 22, "The same night he rose and took his two wives, his two servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day is broken.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let go until you bless me.' And then he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Well, my name is Jacob.' Then he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me, what is your name?' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he blessed him. So Jacob now called this place, saying, 'For I have seen God's face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.' And the sun rose upon him, and he passed by limping because of his hip." This is the word of God. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, Amory, what does this have anything to do with VBS and telling of the creation story? And I believe that it does, because it's about a journey. We're all on a journey. Jacob was on this journey. Let me give a little background to Jacob. You see, he was known as the deceiver. He was known that he took the birthright from his brother Esau. He was the one that deceived his father and received the firstborn birthright. And so he carried this burden with him throughout his ministry up to this point. And God saw that. God noted that. You know, we see that at the beginning, that we see that he took all of his family, his 11 children, and he had them cross on ahead. You know, he needed to be alone. He sent his family on ahead. He knew that he needed to have an encounter with God. He knew that there was a time that it needed to be just him and God, just him alone, not the distraction of family, of his friends, of his work, of his children, of things that he had to take care of. He just needed to be by himself. And so he sent them all on ahead, so he was alone. Notice that's when this angel came. He had his attention, didn't he? How many of us take that time to really be alone with God? Or to experience that encounter with God with that expectation that he's going to meet us? I know sometimes, and even in ministry, and it's sad to say, you get caught up in things that you're doing. Whether they're good or bad, you still get caught up in them. And we get distracted. And we don't spend that time. Oh, we may say we have our devotion time. What's today's date? And we flip through it, and we look at the date, we read it. Oh, good, tick a box, and we're gone. And we go on, you know. And then if somebody does hold us accountable and we ask, you know, did you do your devotion? Or what was God? Oh, yeah, I did my devotion today. Yeah, I did it. Don't ask me about it, but I did it. I did it. You know, I'm guilty of it. I'm just going to be real. It happens. Things in our life, we consume it. Jacob had an understanding that he was about to cross over that river. And you know who was in that land on the other side of his river, on the other side of that river? His very brother Esau, the one who he took the birthright from. He was about to face something of his past that he just had to deal with. He knew he had to get things right with God. He knew he had to have a right standing so that when he was able to cross over, he would be that new creation. You know, we prayed this morning, and God is faithful. God is good. He came and he died for us that we may have a new life, that the old life is passed away. But we have to receive that and know that he changes us and that that change is a process. It's a journey. It didn't happen overnight. It was two wives, two servants, and 11 kids later that he's realizing what he had to do, what he had to do. So we see that Jacob, now he was alone, and this angel came and began to wrestle with him. How many of you have ever had to wrestle with something in your life? Oh, good, I had one person out of all of you that raised their hand. One was like, that's all I saw, just a little movement, but that's okay. That was good honesty. God sees the heart. But we've wrestled with things in our life. We wrestle with it, and it might even be good things. God, I really like doing this. I'm doing it for you. Don't take that away. But if it's not what is in his plan and his purpose, he will. He will. And you'll wrestle with it. You'll have that time. See, Jacob went with an expectation that he was going to spend some alone time with God, and God showed up. So here they are wrestling, and his hip goes out of socket. Now, that wasn't because he was old, okay? So his hip went out of socket. He had a limp now. Now, Jacob went with expectation that he was going to be better for encountering God so he can face his brother. Now he's going to come across that river limping and gimping. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how he felt? That now he was supposed to be stronger. He was supposed to be vibrant. And now he's going to be coming across that river limping. But God had a plan. God had a plan for that. So now when this hip is out of socket and all this is going on, the angel says, "What's your name?" And Jacob said, "My name is Jacob." And the angel did something. The encounter with God did something that sometimes we just read about it and just kind of pass over. But notice he changed his name. He said, "You're no longer going to be called Jacob. You're going to be called Israel. You're no longer going to be that old man. You're no longer going to have that past of betrayer and those words that we speak. That's what his name meant. You're no longer going to be deceiver. I'm going to call you Israel, the father of many nations." He began to speak different things into his life. You know, in working with children and youth, I find it very, very, very important what we speak over them. You know, a lot of times, you know, they call each other names or tease each other, and I make sure I stop that kind of talk because we don't want that kind of talk in a child's spirit. That's what they grow up with. If they hear, you know, "You're dumb. Why couldn't you get that? That was really stupid." Using those kind of words and speaking that over them, that's what they grow up to. That becomes their expectations and standards, right? But when we start to speak life into their life, when we start speaking life into their times when we have them, I see such a difference, you know? No matter, even if they make a bad choice or a sad choice, it's okay, they're kids. Because I don't know of anybody in this room I don't know y'all, but I'm just guessing that we've made some bad or sad choices in our life. Sometimes, somewhere, I think we all have. So we need to set those expectations. We need to set speaking life into our children, life into our friendships, life into our relationships. You know, here this angel had to reteach Jacob. You're not going to be called that deceiver. Understand, you've encountered with me and you are going to be a new person. And I'm going to call you Israel. That's what you're going to be known as. You're going to be known as the father of many nations. Not that deceiver anymore. Not that person before. How many of you would like to be called something else and not have that past always be brought up to you? Yeah, a couple more hands went up this time. Good. Good. I know you all are listening. Usually I have feedback coming back. I work with kids, so, you know, I say something, they say something. We, you know, but that's okay. It's okay. We have a curve here. Israel was now face to face with God. Israel now had time that he was trying to understand what had just happened, what was just processed, that he was about to face his past and his brother and his whole family. We have to do this as well. We have to do this with the relationships in our lives. When we encounter people, God has placed them in our lives for a purpose, for a plan, to speak life. We might not always be perfect at it, but we sure need to be doing it. We need to encounter the people that we have in speaking life. You know, sometimes I get teased, and that's okay, because I'd rather be teased for doing something that is good, right? But I'm always trying to, you know, send a text or good morning or I'm praying for you or, you know, just some kind of little encouraging words to people. And sometimes it's like, what are you doing? Stop, I know. But you know what? It might just be that time that a person's down and they just need to hear it again. See, Jacob, in this story, he knew he had a place. He knew what God had called him to do, but he needed to have that encounter. He needed to hear his new name. He needed to hear the love of God being spoke over him. He needed to have that face-to-face time. And so do we. So do we. Do we go in relationships? Do we have relationships with people that are speaking life? And do we speak life? That's important. That's important. So we see it go on that Jacob was no longer called that, and that he is going to be known now that he has wrestled with God and with the struggles of man. We wrestle with that struggle. I know I do. I wrestle with the peer pressure. I wrestle, even this morning, you know, sharing with Martha. I was like, oh, I hope I do this thing right here with all this. I said, I never had to do all that. Okay, you know, and the mic's going on, the mic's going off. Okay, Steve's up and down the stairs. I mean, you know, I think he hit his Fitbit goal just going up and down, up and down, up and down. I was like, what are we going to do? You know, we wrestle. We have these things that come into our life, and it's how we handle it. It's how we're going to engage in that. Because I knew that the enemy just doesn't want a word of life to come forth. He doesn't want it to be recorded. Of course he doesn't. Why? Because we're going to speak life from now on. We're going to speak life into you, into our children, into our youth, into the world. We're going to shout it out that we love Jesus. We're going to change our name. We're going to change our attitude. We're going to cross over that river and face those things. Amen? Amen. Are we a little excited? Yeah. Okay, good. I'm just checking, just checking. It's because you're all kind of looking just deer in the headlight look. So, Jacob asked him what his name was. How come the angel didn't answer? You don't know, do you? I don't know. Scripture doesn't say. But I believe it's because it's whatever Jacob needed at that time. If he needed to handle things because of a heavenly father, that he was going to be like that. If he was going to need things to handle with his mom, then he was going to be that to him. Whatever Jacob needed at that time, God was. Jacob needed to be ready to face his brother. He was going to be like a brother to him. Jacob needed maybe to be a better father to his children. That's what he was going to become. That was the encounter. That was the encounter. You know, I was telling a friend this the other day. One thing about the hip and it coming out of joint, I believe that it wasn't just for Jacob to have a remembrance of it. Oh, I think he would remember it. For all the rest of his life, he had a limp. He had a scar to remember that encounter that he had. But oh, I believe that that hip out of joint was maybe, just maybe, for the others around him. Maybe it was so that it can spark a conversation. If he started crossing over that river and his wife, "Jacob, what happened?" "I had an encounter with God. Let me tell you about it." When he crossed over and his brother hasn't seen him, and he crossed over and he had that limp, "Jacob, what happened?" "I had an encounter with God. Let me tell you about that experience." See, we all have scars. We all have limps. We all have the hip sockets out. Those are the times that God has proven himself faithful. And you know how I know? Because you're here. You're here in his house. You're here worshiping. Think of those scars that you may have. Think of those hips out of socket that you may have. Think of those wounds that you may have that God has healed and brought you to this place. Oh, they may still be tender. They may still have those moments. But he's brought you here because he's faithful. He's faithful. We're here in this moment. We're here in this moment to engage and have an encounter with God. You know, this next song, "Set a Fire," it's just such a powerful, powerful song that we're here in this moment. And we want God to have, we want to have an encounter with God. We want to have a moment that he's going to set us on fire. That it's going to be all consuming. That it's going to be one of those moments that when we leave this place, we're going to be that changed person. We're no longer going to be the Jacob. We're going to be like Israel. We're going to be the father to many nations. We're going to go and share his word. Let's stand and join with "Set a Fire."
Amen. You know, as we sing the song, if you don't know it, you know, it doesn't matter how you worship. If you close your eyes or you raise your hands, just worship is between you and God. You can speak the words, you can declare them, or you can sing along, because no matter what, it's all for his glory. There's no place.
There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
rather be. If healing your love, healing your love. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Cause I want more of you, God. And I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Cause I want more of you, God. And I want more. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Cause I want more of you, God. And I want more of you.
So sad.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Cause I want more of you, God. And I want more of you, God.
Amen. You may have a seat.